This time we will read Lord's Day number 9. Lord's Day number 9 is one of the few questions and answers. I guess toward the end of the catechism, there's quite a number with just one question and answer. But Lord's Day 9 is just one question, number 26. I'll read the question, we'll reply, reading the answer together. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs them by His eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father, in whom I so trust as to have no doubt that He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and further, that whatever evil He sends upon me in this vale of tears, He will turn to my good. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father. And so we have in this Lord's Day the beginning of the Catechism's exposition of the Apostles' Creed. You know, we so easy roll those words off our lips, and it's good for us to not only repeat words that we know, but also to think about the content and what goes into that. For instance, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Well, the writer to the Hebrews says that whoever comes to God, that is to say, for grace, for hope, for salvation, whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So when we say we believe in God the Father Almighty, we're affirming our faith in the God who has revealed Himself in His Word. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as we saw last week in the previous question and answer. But in this case, God the Father, the Creator, the Eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is something very reminiscent of the first question answer in this question and answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Well, the answer replies that we belong to our faithful Savior, that He has fully paid for all our sins, set us free from all the power of the devil. And then it kind of parallels what we read here. He so keeps us that not a hair can fall from our heads apart from His will. Well, this is the nature of the Almighty and Sovereign God, that He upholds them, He created them, He upholds them, governs them by His counsel and providence, and directs them for the good of His people. I think as a young person, or at least as a young minister, that this question and answer became cemented in my mind as much as any other. He's the Almighty God, right? We can affirm our faith in that. We call Him our Father. We pray like that, our Father who art in heaven. But the point is, not only is this Almighty, Sovereign, powerful God able to help, which is what Almighty means, right? He can do all His holy will, but He's desirous also. He's desiring to do that also. So that last phrase says that, doesn't it? He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father. It's kind of like Jesus' words. You know, if you, being evil, talking to us, right, know how to give good gifts to your children, what they really need, how much more so doesn't your Heavenly Father know what you need and what it will take to keep you in His grace. And I just refer our back pages of the bulletin as a harmony of the various articles that pertain to the same subject. And that last paragraph on the bottom there is so beautiful. It says, this doctrine affords us unspeakable consolation, comfort, since we are taught thereby that nothing can befall us by chance, but by the direction of our most gracious and heavenly Father, who watches over us with a paternal care, keeping all creatures so under His power that not a hair of our head, for they are all numbered, nor a sparrow can fall to the ground without the will of our Father, in whom we so entirely trust, being persuaded that He so restrains the devil and all our enemies that without His will and permission, they cannot hurt us. And therefore we reject the damnable error of the Epicureans, who say that God regards nothing, but leaves all things to chance. Well, if that's what a person believes, they identify themselves as someone who doesn't believe what the Bible, what the Scriptures teach.